We're in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. What strong believers know, if you would stand for reading of the Word of God. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must be the first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. This is the Word of God. Please be seated. Now, 2 Timothy, as you know, is Paul's swan song, and he's telling his protege Timothy things that are important, things that are important. His death is imminent. He's encouraging Timothy. And the theme, three things to remember in the book of Timothy. If you take anything away from here, three things to remember. Hold fast, preach the word, and be strong. Now, this hold fast is significant in that we do not want to be swept away by the tsunami of the culture that we're living in. We're living in a culture with a worldview that is contrary to the Word of God. Realize that, and has become more and more contrary as the time has passed. Do not be swept away. Hold fast. Do not fall for the 24/7 bombardment that you're getting from the world, from the media, from every source that's inputting into your life. These are not truths, these are lies, and it has to do with mind control. Remember, if you say something often enough, firm enough, if the authorities, the government in particular, backs it up, the human mind is programmed to start to process it as being the truth. Remember, that's how Hitler came to power and was able to persecute the Jews. Our culture now is being indoctrinated to a worldview that is contrary to God and His Word. It's a battle for your mind. So, hear this. Who is behind all of this? Now, hopefully you'll be able to immediately identify this individual as Satan. Yes, he is behind it. He has an evil kingdom. And all men are born into the kingdom of darkness. You realize that every baby that's born are born into the kingdom of darkness, and they are not extracted from that kingdom until they are born again. Remember, you must be born again. John 3:3, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Why? Because you have to be taken out of that kingdom. And I want you to hear something. In Colossians 1:13, it says this, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. That delivered is a strong word. It means it's a violent word. It means it's ripped out. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, from the kingdom of darkness. He's ripped us out of the clutches of Satan, so to speak. That's how tenaciously Satan wants to hold on to people that are in his kingdom. And it takes God to break that. No human can break that. That's why you can't just raise your hand one day and say, okay, I think I'm going to become a Christian now because I decided this. No, it's God working on you. It's God drawing you. It's the Holy Spirit convicting you. It's the Holy Spirit opening your eyes so that you can see the truth, because your mind has been blinded by the god of this age, it says in 2 Corinthians 4:4. So you cannot see the light of the gospel of Christ. He has to take the blinders off to allow you to see. The work of God. But once He does and you believe, God forcibly extracts you from the kingdom of darkness and places you in the kingdom of light. And you need to know that. That's what He did for you, each one of us. A forceful extraction. And it's a battle for the mind. And again, we're hardwired to believe something that's said over and over and over. Now, in order to counter this 24/7 bombardment, and we are, again, living in an era that is most disadvantaged as far as being indoctrinated, because we have media inputs like no other culture has had. We have instant information that is coming into you that is changing the way that you think. It's changing the way that we think. Now, how is this countered? Well, Paul makes this very clear. He says, preach the word, Timothy. Preach the word, Timothy, the caruso. Proclaim the divine truth. Proclaim the truth that this world system, what it's teaching you, is not the truth. People need the truth to expose the lies. Teach the word, the logos, the words of God spoken to men. The entirety of Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, the entirety of God's word. Remember what Jesus said about God's word? Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. And finally, he says, in order to be strong in this culture, hold fast, preach the word. And then he says, be strong. Be strong. And again, it's not your strength that you're standing on. You know, there's no Hercules in this spiritual warfare. Your strength comes from God. It is not you. And it actually, when you look up the Greek, it means to be made strong. God is the one that makes you strong. It's the Spirit of God that makes you strong. It's an outside source. It's not us. It is God in us. And Holy Spirit strong people that have been filled with the Spirit of God, where the Spirit of God, remember in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Spirit of God will come on you. The epi will come on you for strength and power to do what he's called you to do. Well, you're going to need this Holy Spirit power in order to not fear what is coming down the pike or what's coming into your life. Now, remember, overt persecution is what Timothy was living in. Be strong, Timothy, because Nero is killing people in droves. He's lighting them up on the road. He has them in the circus, the entertainment within the Colosseum. People are being literally eaten by lions and other animals. Okay, you be strong, Timothy, in this environment. You need the Spirit of God to do that. You can't muster that up. Also, you need the Spirit of God to help you in an era of disinformation. There's disinformation now that is going out in our culture about who Christians are. You know, Christians are intolerant. Christians are prejudiced. Christians have all kinds of problems, and that disinformation is being fed to the world around you, and many churches are capitulating to this message, which we're urging you not to do. Stand strong. Hold on to the truth. And discrimination is also part of the plan. Do not cave into the pressure to conform, even in Timothy's time or in our time as this thing is ramping up. If you haven't noticed, it's ramping up. And it's not going to get better. It's not going to get better. It's ramping up. The Holy Spirit power is what we're going to need to stand. Now, this power to stand will not happen if you are a cursory Christian. If you are someone that is occasionally involved with going to church. If you're one that thinks about God every now and then, just an emergency God, and then forget him for the rest of the time. This isn't going to happen for you. If you're an occasional prayer, if you're half in, half out, if you're a lot in the world and caving into a lot of the things of the world and little into God, you won't be able to stand. You're going to be swept away with the tsunami of the culture. This is for all in people. And remember, those who are all in, when you really commit yourself to the Lord, I don't know if you remember from last time, but your friend circle will change. Your friends will desert you. You will no longer be cool in school, okay? You no longer be cool at work, cool on the team. Your friends will desert you, like Hermogenes and Phygellus. Those guys deserted Paul, written down for all time as deserters, but not Onesiphorus. He was a true friend. And I'll tell you, true friends stick, folks. True friends are tough. But you know what true friends do? Tell you the truth. That's what true friends do. They tell you the truth. Now this week, what strong believers know. Let's enter our teaching for today. Father, thank you for this time that you've allowed us to study your word, the word of God to his people. Holy Spirit, please teach us today truths from your word. Help us to learn things that we haven't known. And help us to apply what we do learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 1, an absolute requisite, an absolute requirement. Strong believers know this, that their strength comes from God. God alone, God. Okay? Verse 1. You therefore, my son, this isn't his biological son, this is his son in the faith. Be strong, and again it's an encouragement to Timothy, be strong in the grace, the favor that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong. Remember, Ephesians 6:10 says this, be strong in the Lord and in His might. To be made strong, that's what this is talking about, to be made strong. Not to fear men, not to fear philosophies of life. Positive thinking isn't going to make you strong. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that is going to make you strong. Be strong in the grace, the favor, the charis. That's where you get charisma. The favor, the joy, the acceptance, the unmerited favor of God. Strong believers who have been graced by God walk in continual dependence on God. Let me say that again. If you've been graced by God and you're a strong believer, the reason that you are that is because you are walking in complete dependence upon God. Now, is this easy to do in your daily life? How are you doing with this? Huh? Yeah, I would say, let's be truthful, okay? Yeah, is this easy to do? How about especially when your flesh wants to take control of the situation? Step out and take control. Is it easy to revert back to your old you ways? And I will say you're probably yes. You'd say yes to that. Is it easy to walk in fear? Is it easy to be so fearful that I'm going to try to control everything around me? You know, when you are walking in fear, you start to become a control, what do you call them, control freak. When you start doing that, remember, you're trying to control stuff you cannot control. It's easy to be crisis driven. It's easy to be a people pleaser. Anybody in here not a people pleaser? I bet you there's a couple, but most of us, you know, we're right there. We want to be liked. We want everybody to like us, that sort of thing. It's easy to panic with every bump in the road. It's easy to make decisions and ask God to clean up your mess after you've made the decision. That's what we do. Now, how do I live in continual dependence upon God? How will this actually look in my life? Now hear this. I cannot be strong. I cannot do this dependence upon God. I cannot be strong. I cannot change old ingrained patterns without submission to the Spirit of God. I must submit to God if I'm going to change from old me to new me. Okay? And not revert to old me. It looks a lot like Galatians 5:25, where it says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That's in the NIV. I think it explains it really well. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I am strong when I keep in step with the Spirit of God. Now, what does that mean? That means I obey His voice. I'm not stifling His voice. Now, the Holy Spirit is the one that leads us. Those who are strong believers are led by the Holy Spirit, and there will be no lagging behind nor running ahead. We keep in step with the Spirit. Let's develop this just for a second. So, those who are laggers, those who are shaky in their faith, tend to withdraw and hold back when God is speaking to them. Okay? Now hear this. They allow their mind to go into two areas, denial mode and lag behind, and they go into what if land. What if this is going to be, what if this is happens? Anybody have that problem? Oh no, what if? What if, and by the way, what if? And when what if happens, what is your tendency to do? Your tendency is to run ahead. I'm going to make this thing right. I'm in run-ahead mode, so it's lag behind or run ahead. Lag behinders say this. They're in denial land. Denial land. I'm okay. Everything's okay. I can't see. I can't. Remember the little monkey? I can't see. I can't hear. I'm okay. You know, that sort of thing. Denial land. I'm not here. It's okay. And they tend to use these words. I can't. I won't. I don't feel like it. I don't, and in Christian, you throw a little Christianese in it. I don't feel led. How do you like that? Isn't that one of them? I don't feel led to do this. You know, Spirit of God is speaking to you, screaming at you, do this. I'm like, I don't feel led. Okay? The Spirit of God says, change course. You say, I'm okay. The Spirit of God says, danger ahead. I'm okay. I'm okay. The Spirit of God says, don't go. I'm okay. Don't go down that road. Stop. You're going the wrong way. Danger, danger, danger. Hear this. This is interesting. Now, I have shared with this with you before. I'd be interested in how many actually remember this. But I'll share this with you again. Frank Koch was a naval officer. He tells this story about a battleship and a captain on a battleship. Hear what he says about denial. A battleship had been at sea on its routine maneuvers under heavy weather for days. The captain, who was worried about deteriorating weather conditions, stayed on the bridge to keep an eye on all activities. Now, if you have been on a ship, you know that it isn't the captain that stays on the bridge. The captain's in his quarters. You got a lieutenant on the bridge. You have little seamen on the bridge. You have little guys doing little lookouts and watching for stuff. But this is serious. Now, the captain is on the bridge because he's concerned about his ship going down. Okay? One night, the lookout on the bridge suddenly shouted, Captain! A light bearing on the starboard bow. Is it stationary or moving astern? The captain asked. Lookout replied that it was stationary. This meant that the battleship was on a dangerous collision course with another ship. Ship against ship, right on. The captain immediately ordered a signalman to the signal to the ship. We are on a collision course. I advise you to change course 20 degrees east. Now, if you're on a ship, you're not signalmen are going like this. And I imagine this signalman is moving like you can't believe with his signals. Okay, change course. Change course. Back came a response from the other ship. You change course 20 degrees west. Agitated by the arrogance of this response, the captain asked his signalman to shoot out another message. I'm a captain. You change course 20 degrees east. Back came the response. I'm a second-class seaman. You had still better change course 20 degrees west. Oh, the captain by this time is furious. A second-class seaman. I'm a captain on a Navy battleship. He shouted to the signalman, send back a final message. I'm a battleship. Change course 20 degrees east right now. Back came the flashing response. I'm a lighthouse. The captain duly changed course. Yeah. Was that captain in denial? I'm okay. I'm in charge. I'm the boss. Denial could have caused a great disaster. The captain thought he was okay. He was okay. Folks, there's a lesson here. Keep in step with the Spirit. Change course when He signals you. Listen to His signal. Don't send signals back at Him and say, no, you change course, Spirit. No, we listen to Him. We listen. Do what He says. Do which is oftentimes contrary to what you desire. Do you realize that? Does that happen in you? Yeah, it does happen. It does happen. Do contrary to what you want to do and what you feel like doing. If the Spirit is speaking to you, keep in step with the Spirit of God. The other extreme is running ahead, going where the Spirit has not led you. I call these plungers. If you're a type A person, you know what plunging is about. The least little thing, we're running ahead, trying to make it, fixing it all, trying to make everything right, okay? Plungers. And sometimes we're doing under the guise of, I'm doing what is right. I'm plunging ahead. I haven't taken one moment to consult God, but I'm plunging ahead, and I know I'm right. Now, plungers tend to run ahead and then ask God to come along and straighten out the plunging mess that they've created. Oh, help me, Lord, clean up my mess. Folks, don't lag behind. Don't run ahead of the Spirit of God. Your strength comes from keeping in step with Him, total dependence on Him. That is where we get our strength. When I run ahead, I'm weak. When I lag behind, I'm weak. When I keep in step with the Spirit of God, that's when I'm the strongest. And that's what I would encourage you to do. Verse 2, strong believers know to pass on what they have learned. Pass on what you have learned. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Notice that you're committing it to faithful men. You're not keeping what you've learned to yourself. You're passing it on to those who really want to learn. That's the picture here. So what I'm learning, when I learn something, it's just not for me. It's personal, and we can apply it to our lives, but it is not to be kept there. It is to be shared with people around you. You don't gather information to look smart. Now, in Christendom, you can do this. This is the Greek. Now, believe me, I know nothing about Greek except what I look up in the Zadiades or somebody tells me. But it might sound like I know what I'm talking, or the Hebrew, you know. Learn a couple words. Look smart. It isn't about that. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says this, knowledge puffs up. Knowledge makes arrogant. Knowledge makes the flesh feel big, but love edifies. Love builds up. There's a big difference. Love does not parade itself. It's concerned about other people, but knowledge for the sake of knowledge puffs up the individual. Love extends to the people that are around you. What a difference. What a difference. What you learn, folks, from key reliable teachers, that's the requisite, key reliable teachers we are to pass on. Paul was reliable. He was living in a milieu of false teachers. So you have to be discerning on what you hear. Reliable. 2 Timothy 3:13 says this, but evil men and imposters, people that look, trying to look like the legitimate, look like the real, imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But notice what he says to you, to us who are believers. But you, Timothy, must continue. That word actually is make this your home. Make this your home, Timothy. Continue in the things which you have learned. Make this your home and been assured of knowing from whom you have learned them. Remember what you've learned. Remember who has taught you these things. You can trust this, Timothy. You can trust this. It's reliable. How do you know that someone is reliable? That's the question. Because imposters aren't wearing the imposter sign going, look, I'm an imposter. Don't listen to me. They're not doing that, are they? So you have to be discerning. You have to be very discerning. You must examine what is taught. Now, by now, 95% of us should have an answer to this question. What do we call a person that is searching the Scriptures for truth? A Berean. That's right, and that's what we are to be. What in the world is a Berean? What are they? Is it some sort of nationality? Is it a disease? You got the Berean disease? No, it is. It's a people group. It's a city, actually, that Paul went to after he was in Thessalonica. He was actually pushed out of Thessalonica, and he landed in Berea. In Acts 17:10, he says, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. They're escaping Thessalonica. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now, Paul wasn't defeated. Sometimes we get defeated. We witness to somebody. We're having problems at school with somebody, have problems at work with somebody. Oh, no one will ever listen to me. That wasn't the attitude of Paul. Paul was like a pinball machine. Bing, 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 bing. He just kept going until people would hear him. That is what has to be our attitude. They went to Berea. Now, notice what happens there. These were more fair-minded or more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? Because they received the word with all readiness. You know what that readiness is? That readiness is an intense word, much like on Christmas morning when the kids are ready to open the packages. That's what that readiness, it isn't just, well, I'm ready now for the test. I think I'm ready. No, it's just the energy that's being exuded. These people had energy, and they searched the Scriptures monthly. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Daily to find out whether these things were true. What Scriptures did they search? The Old Testament Scriptures. The Tanakh, the Old Testament Scriptures. They wanted to make sure what Paul was telling them was congruent with the Word of God. Now that's your job. And you do a good job of it. Because when I do something wrong, what do you do? That's right. Okay, we have it. He pushed the button. So your job is to be a Berean. Make sure things are taught. Strong believers pass on what they have learned, and they pass it on to faithful men who are ready to teach. Now, I want to say something about teaching. Teaching is influence. You can influence people positively or negatively by how you teach. Therefore, there is a warning in Scripture in James 3:1 that is a caution for teachers. My brethren, not let many of you become teachers, knowing that they shall receive a stricter judgment. Now, what is he saying here? It is saying that you have to come prepared. Not, how do oftentimes people come? They come and they, what am I doing here? They wing it, okay? If you see this, this is not someone that's prepared and ready to teach the Word of God. It is not winging it. I'm going to let this be Spirit-led. Let's let the Spirit lead. Well, we want the Spirit to lead. You know what you want the Spirit to lead you in? Preparing what to give. It takes energy. So, why the warning? Teachers influence lives. Wrong teaching can lead people astray. So teachers must work very diligently at rightly dividing the word of truth. Everyone that teaches the word must rightly divide the word. Allow the word, now this is key, allow the word to say what it says, not take it out of context to prove a pet peeve. Okay? Very important. Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6 say this, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. 1 Corinthians 4:6, Paul speaking, do not go beyond what is written. We stick with what is written in the Word of God. So, what we learn, we pass on to faithful men. These, by the way, will probably be your leaders. Faithful men pass on the Word of God. Now, we talked about strong believers. Know that their strength is in God. We talked about passing on what we have learned. You don't keep it to yourself. Verse 3 through 6, strong believers know how to endure hardship. Okay? Strong believers know how to endure hardship. Verse 3 through 6, he's going to give three examples, a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. You, therefore, must endure hardship. Now, let me ask you, have you ever heard these words ever used on television, most Christian TV, when you get the health and wealth message? Do they ever tell you, you must endure hardship? No, you don't ever hear this. You're not going to hear Joel say this. Are you? You're not going to hear him? No. It's positive. I mean, it's great to be positive. I mean, isn't it nice? It just lifts you right up. But we live in this world and there's a reality, okay? You therefore must endure hardship, how? As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's what we're in his army. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be the first to partake of his crops. We have these three examples of people who work hard and endure. Number one, soldiers endure hardship. Now hear this. How do soldiers face not just the battle, but the mud, the slop, the separation from their family? Being in the dirt and the mire, I'll tell you, when you go into the field, it is not a camp out. Oh, we're going to roast marshmallows and it's going to be a nice, no, it is not like that. How do you endure rockets, red glare, bombs bursting in the air? How do you charge a fortified position knowing that half the guys are going down? Guns blazing all around, carnage all around. You know what you do it for? You know what soldiers do it for? You know how they do it? They do it for their buddy. They do it for the guy that's next to them. That's why they do it. You don't have friendships as tight as you have in the military. You really do. You don't have that tightness because you have something in common with them that doesn't happen in civilian life. You have a tightness. You do it for your buddy. Secondly, these guys that will actually do this will follow a leader that they respect. Now, who is our leader? Who do we respect? We're charging into this world. We are soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is our leader? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is our leader. Timothy, you are a soldier of Christ. In this war, you represent Christ. We represent Christ in this war to this culture. He is our commander, and we will face a hostile enemy in a hostile world. Please know this. In this hostile world, a hostile enemy has a hostile king, which is Satan, who will do all he can to silence you, to cripple you, to get you out of action. So how does he do this? How does Satan cripple soldiers of Christ? Watch this. One method he uses. Remember, he has many schemes, methodia, ways of dealing with humans. This is one of them that Paul mentions to Timothy here. They get entangled in the affairs of life. Entangled in the affairs of life, which distracts him. Distracts the soldier from the battle. Now, what things can you get entangled with? There are many good things that you can get entangled with, and there are bad things that you can get entangled with. Work. Work, you can get really entangled in work. I got to work. I got to make more money. I got to have more, you can get entangled in that. Could be good stuff. Anything that keeps you busy. Busy, busy, busy. How about baseball games, gymnastics? Got to get them to dance. Got to get them to this. Got to get them to that. Before you know it, you've been distracted, entangled in the world. Believe me, we live here. We understand this. It happens to us. We need more money. We need more stuff. We need more prestige. We get this feeling, and by the way, the reason you get this feeling is because you have, again, been bombarded with this. You need a 2017 car. If you don't have a 2017 and you only have a 2016, you're missing out on this new thing and this car. And you're getting bombarded with this constantly. Don't fall for it, folks. Never satisfied. Eyes on what others have. That ever distract people? Oh, man, look at that new snowmobile. Wow. Distracted by your idol. Could be good, it could be bad. Folks, we're in a war. And casualties are strewn literally all over in Christendom. They're strewn all over in Christendom. There are Christian dropouts galore. Have you seen them? Yes, you have. Yes, you have. And I'll tell you, post-traumatic stress is not something that just happens to soldiers. They can happen to soldiers of Christ also. There's a lot of abuse that goes on in churches. A lot of abuse. It's real. Your goal as an enduring soldier, enduring hardship, do not get distracted. Do not become a casualty. How do we do this? Verse 4 tells us, focus on pleasing him who enlisted you. All eyes on Jesus. That's how we make it here. That's how we don't get entangled in the world. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Remember the song? Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. They don't mean that much, folks. It doesn't mean that much. What matters is what we do for him. That's what matters. Don't get distracted. Turn your eyes on Jesus. The question is how do you stay continually strong, engaged in this war? I can assure you, stay connected to the vine. John 15:5. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever remains in me, I will remain in him, and he will bear much fruit. Apart from Jesus, apart from me, he says, you can do nothing, nothing of value. He's your power source. He's your top priority. And listen to this. Disconnected soldiers have no power in in-depth casualties. What do I mean by that? Disconnected from his word and disconnected from his people. There's a lot of isolated Christians that think they can do McDonald's Christianity. I can go here and have fellowship with my burger, okay? I can have fellowship with the fishing pole. Well, you can have fellowship with God any place, but we need one another in the body of Christ. We need each other. Stay connected. And I'll tell you, there's a caution for disconnected people, and it's usually a slow fade. You see them starting dropping certain things. Not coming to this, not coming to that, not being involved here, not being involved there. And when you talk to them, what do they say? I'm okay. But you know, you've seen it a million times, the slow fade away, dropping out, withdrawing from fellowship. Athletes are a second example of how to endure hardship and follow the rules. Athletes, they train, they prepare, they prepare to compete, but they must follow the rules. Kenneth Woost says this, "It's not enough to declare that one is entering the contest, nor is it enough to begin running the race. A person has to compete according to the rules. The Greek athlete was required to spend 10 months in preparatory training before the contest. During this time, he had to engage in the prescribed exercises and live a strictly separated life in regard to the ordinary and lawful pursuits of life. And he was placed on a rigid diet." We don't like that, okay? "Should he break training rules, he would be a castaway. Adokimos is the word in the Greek. Disqualified, not genuine, not able to participate in the games." Now the question is for the Christian, what are the rules? There are two rules, it's simple. Two rules, okay? What are the rules? There are two. A person must believe in Christ. When I say believe, it is not mental assent. I believe Jesus lived. I believe Jesus died on a cross. It's committing yourself to, putting your trust in the Lord Jesus. That is what believe is. Secondly, a person must follow Christ, that is, obey the Word of God. Now, how many people do you know that declare that they are entering the Christian race? I'm in. You see it all the time when you go to camp, youth camp. I'm in. How many got saved? 25 got saved and they entered the race. How many finished the race 5 years later when they go to college? We know that 80% of the Christian young people drop out. It's starting and it's finishing. How many, when they enter the race, finish the Christian race, but do not run but by the rules and are disqualified, not genuine? Soldiers endure, athletes endure, and finally farmers endure in verse 6. And farmers, a traditional thing for farmers, that they're hardworking, they labor to exhaustion. Now I'll ask you this question. Have you ever seen a slacker farmer? If they slack, what happens to the farm? Foreclosed. You're done. Okay? Farmers are essential to us, and farmers are essential to our lives. A farming essential is this: to not be lazy, labor intensely, and have a view of the harvest that is coming. It makes it all worthwhile. Farmers are patient. They raise their crops. You know, crops don't grow instantly. You just don't have that big ear of corn that you're going to be lapping up with a nice butter and salting it up. And oh, man, it just doesn't happen like that. It takes time. You have to be patient. It's the same thing in the Christian life. We have to be patient. We have to be patient. We can learn much from the farmer. And finally, enduring hardship, he says in verse 7, strong believers meditate on what they learn. If you want to endure hardship, if you want to really make it in this thing, you must meditate on what you have learned. Not just let it go in and go out. Go in and go out. Meditate on what you've learned. Verse 7, consider what I say. He's saying, process this, Timothy. Process this. Put this in your mind. Consider what I say. May the Lord give you understanding in all things. Now, meditate. Think deeply. Think hard on what has been taught, Timothy. Paul's telling you, meditate. And again, who gives you understanding? The Lord gives you understanding. Remember, it's the Holy Spirit that illuminates Scripture. You ever read this word and you're going, man, I'm not getting anything out of this. Therefore, I will not read it anymore. Isn't that a big mistake? Huge mistake. You know what you do? You keep on it. You keep on it. The Holy Spirit illuminates Scripture. And I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit gives you those aha moments when all of a sudden the scripture comes alive and you go, wow, that's what it says. This is unbelievable. That's the first time I've ever seen that. And I've read that over 25 million times. Yeah, well, the Holy Spirit has just illuminated the word to your mind. John 16:13 says this, when the Spirit of God has come, He will guide you into all truth. John 14:26, the Spirit will teach you all things. Allow the Spirit to teach you by meditating on His Word. Please meditate on what He has said. We've been to this verse many times, but in Psalm 119:15, we see these words. I will meditate on your precepts, and I will contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. And remember that meditate is to ponder. Say over and over and over. To chew on it. To chew on it. There's a big difference in reading something and say, gosh, I got that chapter in. And meditating on what the chapter or the verses are saying to you. Big difference. In Psalm 119:78, let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongly with falsehood. Now, they're lying about David. But I will meditate on your precepts. I don't care what they say. I am meditating on your precepts. That's what's going to get me strength. And 148, he says this, my eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. How many times have you been awakened at night and say, you know, I need to spend some time with God. I'm going to meditate. It might not happen when you're young, because when you actually hit the pillow when you're young, you wake up when it's morning. Well, I can guarantee you, that does not happen when you get older. 2 hours later, you're going, is it morning yet? You know. Well, in those times, if you feel the prompting of the Spirit, you may want to join Him during that quiet time and allow Him to speak to you. Meditate on His Word. Allow God's Word to saturate your being, to change you. This will help you to endure hardship. It will. His Word gives us strength. Finally, in conclusion, know this. Strong believers endure hardship. And again, we have a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. And these people are telling us this. Never quit. Never retreat. Never surrender. Never give in to the values or the mores of this culture. Never give in to it. The Bible is not something that is just cursory. The Bible is our rule of life. That is why the government doesn't understand you when you say, we cannot stand for abortion. We cannot stand for the change in 6,000 years of marriage. The Bible is our rule of life. It isn't something that we can take it or leave it. Just take this part and leave this part. This is what we build our lives on. It is non-negotiable for us. It is our rule of life. Endure hardships, folks. All soldiers are under the command of their leader. And Jesus is our leader. There should be no competing leaders. There must be no competing leaders in our lives. All athletes train and prepare and compete by the rules. And Jesus is the one, Jesus' rules are who we follow. Believe in Him and obey Him. And all farmers are to work hard. And you know, they work long days. It's work being a Christian. It's not a passive thing. It is an active thing. There are tough conditions that we have to go through in order for the harvest to come. It will take you time to work with people. It'll take you time and patience to be with people. But there is a harvest that will come. That's what the farmer teaches us. Be persistent. Don't give up. And finally, all strong believers, if you want to endure hardship, must ponder and meditate on the Word of God. Know what God is teaching them. Jesus expects this, and this will help you with hardship. Hear what John Corson has to say on this verse about meditating. He says this, what does the Bible mean by meditation? He said, the goal of Eastern meditation is to empty oneself of all thoughts. Ever been? Seen it? Your mantra. Yeah. Empty yourself of your thoughts. And you know what else comes in? Demonic spirits. Channelers. That is a channel. That's the way channelers get in. Demonic spirits get in and control people. They're lying spirits. I don't care how good they make you feel, that sort of thing. The biblical meditation is just the opposite. The Hebrew word for meditation is linked to what a cow does when he chews its cud. A cow constantly re-chews its food as it sends it to one of its stomachs. That's what we are to do with Scripture. We're to read a passage, stop and consider it, and meditate on it, and chew on it, think through it, and pray about it. If I just read a chapter or a few verses, and I don't get it, it happens often, by the way. It happens often. If I don't get it and I give up on it, I won't get it. But if I wait on God, if I stop and consider it, if I meditate, if I chew on it, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this? What do you want me to learn from this? The Spirit of God will illuminate the Word to you. Remember, it will take time and patience, but it is worth it. It is worth it. And finally, the last thing I'm just going to add here, to endure hardship, strong believers have to do this. They must trust in the Lord until they die. Remember, that's one of our theme verses, or our theme thoughts here. I will trust in the Lord until I die. I don't care what something sounds like, smells like, tastes like, seems like. I don't care what's happening in this world. I am going to trust in the Lord until I die. Because guess what? You're not going to understand most things that happen. When death comes to your door and knocks on your door and you have a brain cancer, you have a child die from a Wilms tumor, you have someone that gets run over by a car, you will not be able to process this. But you must realize in your deepest of inner beings that you will trust. I don't understand it, Lord, but I will trust in the Lord until I die. These truths will help you. No retreat, no surrender, press on. These truths, strong believers must know. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time to study your word. And Lord, thank you that your word really is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It does give us the truth. Sometimes the truth is not easy. Sometimes the truth is a relief. But we know that we can trust your truth. And we're going to live in it, Lord. Help us to be people that live by your word and not by the lies that are coming into our culture. Lord, I pray for every person in this room today that you would fill them with your Spirit, illuminate the word to their hearts and minds, and help them to be effectual soldiers, athletes, farmers for the Lord Jesus. Everyone enduring hardship until the King comes. And the King is coming. The King is coming, and he's coming soon. Thank you, Lord, for the promise that you give us of your Spirit. Thank you for the promises that you give us in your Word. Thank you that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you that you are a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Thank you that you are the rod of iron up our spine that allows us to stand through any hardship that comes in this life. Thank you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.